Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Hey, all right, we're actually here for the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and the reason I phrase it that way is because I have incredibly bad AT&T internet, and it went down about 20 minutes before the podcast was supposed to start today, and I was wondering if Dan and I were going to make it. Of course, I'm the big junk, with me is Dan the Man, and if you'd like to call into the podcast, hopefully my internet will support us for the hour. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. And since it is Wednesday, there was a new blog that went up at sportstimeradio.com, so head on over there and read it. And, of course, while you're there, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, that would be very nice of you. And don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are also on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan, the Man with three E's.
All right. Well, you know, Dan, I'm kind of curious here. You know, I know you're not the biggest NFL fan, but, you know, you participate in our fantasy stuff. And I got to say, having Cam Newton get COVID cost me a game last week because I lost by a point and a half. And Cam would have definitely scored enough to get me the win. Do you honestly think they're going to be able to figure out a way to get this season in? You know, like I read today that two more Titans tested positive and they were supposed to reopen their facility today. It's also came out that Stephen Gilmore, I believe it's pronounced, of the Patriots has tested positive. You know, that would put him in the category with Cam Newton, who tested positive, I think it was a week or two ago. You know, it's not like baseball where you can just kind of tack these games into open dates or, you know, add them on someplace. Do you see this eventually being a problem for the NFL?
I think so. I mean, it's kind of surprising to me that how it just keeps happening. And, I mean, we can go into why I'm upset about my loss for this week, but that's my own fault. Damn you, Blake Bortles, for not starting.
because I'm just beginning to wonder, you know, more and more, you know, because, again, you know, Tennessee, they didn't play last week. They weren't allowed in their facility, so they couldn't practice. You know, so they're looking at, I guess apparently the non-positive testing players did get together and work out at a high school. But, you know, I mean, they're not watching game film. They're playing the Bills, who are undefeated and, you know, look like a really good team. You know, and I don't know. I'm beginning to wonder if, you know, they're going to have to just, like, stop the season for 2 weeks and then pick it up to kind of get everybody clear or hopefully get everybody clear. Do you think that would work? Because obviously, there's no bubble option for this. They can't get everybody together and stuff them in a bubble or anything like the NBA did. You know, I don't know. You got a game plan or something you think they could try?
nothing whatsoever, sadly.
So, yeah, I just, you know, it just seems like it's going to, you know, kind of end up going down a bad path. But, you know,
I never thought for $1 million that, and I'm glad I didn't make any kind of bets, but I never believed that Major League Baseball would make it this far. You know, so maybe
it is easier for baseball to, you know, reschedule, you know, because of the way obviously it's played. But, you know, you just can't go, okay, well, we're going to take this football game and put it here and this football game and put it here. So it just makes it so much more difficult. So I just don't, you know, I don't know, you know, and then obviously, you know, I mean, not that this matters at all, but, you know, I mean, every fantasy player is going ape crazy. And, you know, luckily for us, we don't have money on the line in our leagues, but we, you know, we still want to win. It just makes it, you know, kind of frustrating. And, you know, you've got to be on top of your lineup there Sunday morning, making sure you're like, hey, is this guy playing? What, you know, what's going on with this guy? Or, you know, how's that going? So it's different, I guess, would be the way to kind of look at it this year. And, yeah, I just wonder if we're going to get a season delay and be like, hey, we're going to put everything on hold for a couple weeks, and then we'll be back when everybody's cleared up.
It's possible, but, I mean, I don't even know what to say, you know, and that, like you said, Sunday morning, you know, with Cam Newton going down, can't win them all. But they do. I should be 3-1. But, you know, I ended up going with, that's very nice. If you log into the Yahoo app, they put a little button sponsored by, I think, Allstate, that tells you to swap out your guy because he's on bye week. So I was, you know, first I went with Driscoll from Denver, but then I realized after I picked him up that he was the game already played. Of course, went with Mitchell, just picked him up, didn't think he'd get in, but, you know, taking a risk. So I ended up with Brian Hoyer because I felt he was the better pick over Stedman or Steedman or, you know, the other kid. And, yeah, Hoyer actually made my loss worse, because he got negative 1.35 points. You know, and here's the thing that sucks, Big Jack, is that's the snake league. In the auction league, I have Matt Ryan. So I still won that league, but Matt Ryan did absolutely jack Sunday. Everything was done by, and this is what it all came down to. I could have won if Matt Ryan's game was on and he wasn't panning the ball up to Todd Gurley. If Todd Gurley, you know, for the first, like, quarter or two, isn't doing much, then all of a sudden, you know, he took off and he ended up with 23 points. So I'm like, you jerk. Hey, you know, I'm sitting there. I've never watched a football game where I was actually rooting for the quarterback but rooting against the running back. I would honestly, Sunday night, was it Sunday night or they played Monday night, right? I had this app, the Yahoo app, open the whole time, and I'm just sitting there going, fumble it, Gurley, fumble, fumble, fumble. You know? I'm like, you guys need to get him behind the line. You need to stack his ass. And I know he's a quarterback, but you get my point. So, I mean, I was rooting against Gurley so bad Monday night. Obviously, it didn't work out. But, I mean, I think this definitely adds a bigger challenge to, you know, it's normally I get killed on injuries, but, you know, what was the COVID's really kind of messing things up too. And, you know, I turned on the notification for the Yahoo app. And I mean, you, like you said, you've got to be on top of it, especially in our league. I mean, Sunday morning, my phone just goes off. It goes off all day long. You know, earlier today, because it is Wednesday, it was going off like crazy. You know, just with people, making their updates, you know? So, it's like you said, you've really got to be on top of your league, your roster right now.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, definitely difficult, you know, this year as it kind of, you know, moves along. It's just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, what's going on with this guy, or what's going on with that guy, or all that other fun stuff. But yeah, it's definitely, it's made for an interesting year, just to you know, just to kind of see how you got to juggle things, or the way things are going to work, or you know, just ridiculous.
I mean, on the positive note, I mean, I'm doing a lot better this year for fantasy football, but it is killing me, you know, that I have two losses. And, you know, even though I lost, our view matchup recap got an A, it came down to the quarterback. And, I mean, I've got four or five quarterbacks on my team right now. And it's just it's kind of ridiculous how this is playing out. And it sucks, you know, because right now I'm sitting pretty and, well, you're up at fourth. I'm 2-2 and 15th. And I don't know if you noticed this, Big Jack, but I don't know how the hell this happened. But we ended up with an old school AL Central, NL Central league. I'm in Division Two. Yeah, and I have six teams in my league, my division. So
In which
league? This is the Snake League. Next year is here, 13.
Oh, that's odd, because, you know, it's divided up into four divisions. So there should be five in each division.
And I didn't even think you could.
That's just a Yahoo error. Oh, and I'm in the division with only four teams.
Yeah, and you're. But, you know, in the Snake League, or the Auction League, I am one out of 20. That's great, but I don't know. You know how it is to feel like you're number one.
Yeah. Well, you know what's odd? I noticed in the Snake League is, a lot of our regular guys are off to rough starts. You know, both our elk guys are 2-2, and Mr. Fantasy's brother is actually 0-4. So yeah, not best starts. You know, normally the elk guys, and I mean it's early, we're only 4 weeks in, but you know, normally they're at the top the whole year and they stay there. So it's kind of interesting that they're actually struggling, you know, this year. And you wonder, you know, does the COVID stuff and all that have anything to do with it?
I'm sure it has something to do with it. I mean, I think I just got lucky in who I was drafting this year. You know how that goes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's you know, I mean, obviously you can't predict who's going to get it and who's not. So, you know, it's just kind of a matter of, oh, okay, well, I guess I'm, you know, I'm taking a shot with this guy and hoping that, you know, he hangs in there. You know, because obviously any player can get it at pretty much any point. So
yeah. Do you find it interesting though that who was the other team that the Patriots just kind of fell off the earth without Cam Newton?
No, I you know, that doesn't really surprise me. You know, I know you know, it's, yeah, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. I was a little surprised that they went with Brian Hoyer because, you know, it was Stidham and Newton who were the two guys being talked about as, you know, contenders for the starting position. So I was kind of surprised when it came down to it, and they were like, "Oh yeah, well we're gonna go this way instead." I was like, "Oh, okay, that's interesting." You know, and I know Hoyer's a veteran guy, but I don't, I've never really had a ton of confidence in him as a starter. So, you know, they kind of got what they, I don't know, I don't want to say asked for or deserved or anything like that, but I'm not, just basically the best way to put it is I'm not surprised it happened.
Well, and I mean, wouldn't you say Hoyer's a long way away from that Super Bowl run for the Bears, 14, 15 years ago?
Definitely. You know, I mean, he's a solid backup, and you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's you know, the thing you need in the NFL. I'm a little surprised he stuck around, you know, because the Patriots normally carry just two quarterbacks, but I know Stidham has been dinged up, so you know, maybe they were waiting for him to get healthy before they made a move like that, or you know, what they were gonna do. But you know, he, you know, and I know you get to the point in our league where, you know, being that it's 20 teams, if you don't land that second starter as your backup, you can be in trouble and you're fishing for guys. So, you know, sometimes you have to play guys like Brian Hoyer, or I know this week, you know, the Jets have already announced that Joe Flacco is going to start, and then the Redskins announced that Kyle Allen is taking over as the starter. So, you know, there will be two more starting quarterbacks on the market. I don't know how long either of them will last. And of course, it's two starters for two bad teams. So, you know, you don't know what you're going to get, but that's the, you know, that's kind of the fantasy niche you get in when you get in these big leagues, and that's what makes them fun. You know, I know, like, you're having fun with your quarterbacks. I'm in a situation where both of my tight ends, the guy I start and his backup, are both hurt. So I've been, you know, and you know how, you know, it's difficult to find a quality starting tight end unless you take one, you know, rounds earlier than you're supposed to. So I've been on the waiver wire the last 2 days just praying somebody would show up that I could take. And, you know, hopefully I landed a guy today and we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I don't really want to get eat a zero out of one of my positions. So, you know, we'll see. You know, but that's the joys of fantasy football, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you just gotta kind of hope it comes your way. And yeah, I could really use, like, you know, my guys in the one league to come off the IR. I did see a report that it's possible I may get McCaffrey back next week. So that would be a big plus if I could get get a healthy guy and, you know, get him back in my lineup, because obviously he, you know, he was the number one pick in the draft. So that would be a humongous plus for me. So we'll see how that goes, but it's, you know, again, it's the things that everybody deals with, and you know, Dan and I are going through them just like everybody else is going through them. So, you know, but I do want to switch it up here, Dan, because it looks like you are onto something, and I want to know what you saw that nobody else saw. Currently the Astros have a 2-game-to-none lead on the A's, and in today's game they're up 7-4 in the bottom of the sixth inning. So they could be sending the A's home here in just a few innings if they can close this thing out. You know, I believe you're one of only like two people I saw predict the Astros would win this series. So you got to tell me, I mean, you know, what tipped you off, especially with no Zach Greinke?
Ooh. You know, to be honest, I didn't realize when we did the picks. And actually last night when I was watching, I don't know which, I was watching one of the games. I think it was probably the Dodgers. When I was watching the games last night, I was actually going to text you because I forgot who the hell I picked. You know, between the A's and the Astros. I was at the dentist. When I was at the dentist yesterday, their TV wasn't working for whatever reason. I had brought my iPad, so I had the A's Astros game on. And, you know, the dentist, he's a baseball guy. He's not, you know, super diehard because he's a dentist and works his ass out. You know, he's like, who did you pick? I'm like, honestly, I go, me and my friend, we make picks. And I go, he made me make the picks. I forgot who I picked. But, you know, now that you mentioned it, that I picked the A's or the Astros, it was based on the pitching. I just felt like between the two teams that the Astros had the better pitching. And, you know, they've got a slight chip on their shoulder. Wouldn't you say so? Where they've got I don't know if chip is the correct word, but they've got a lot to prove, you know, with the whole, just with everything, you know, the cheating, the scandals, the whole nine. So I don't know. I kind of went with them, and I mean, let's be honest, Bregman picked it up and he's been an anchor for them. You know, that's off the top of my head from, It's been hard to keep up with all these games right now. You know, but I don't know. I just – it's not so much of a believing in the team, more so as, you know – and I hate to do this because this is very analytical of me, but, I mean, think about the trend of the Oakland A's. They put together a solid team, but they never get past the division series. And – wow. Sorry. Another home run by Tatis. Like you said yesterday, it's like home run derby in L.A. Or maybe that was the dentist. I don't remember which one you said that. I was the dentist because I didn't talk to you yesterday. You know, that's kind of how I felt, that the Astros were just going to continue to go forward. And I like the A's. I think they have enough. But they trend where they don't make it past that division series. All the way back to that John Lester 2-4 Cespedes trade. What was that?
Yeah.
12, 13, or 14? I don't remember exactly the year.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Do you think that the Astros are kind of embracing this role of, you know, basically being villains? You know, which to be fair, they are because of, you know, they, let's face it, they cheated. There's no two ways around that. But, you know, I mean, more or less everybody's against them unless you're an Astro fan, you know, going into everything. Otherwise, I think everybody wants to see them lose because of the, you know, because of the cheating scandal. Do you think they've kind of, you know, embraced that? Because Carlos Correa kind of hinted at that after the wild card series. So do you think that's kind of their mentality?
I think so, but, you know, I think the other half of it is the fact that they, you know, like we talked about the other day with the rookies, there's nothing, you don't have to sweat, you know. I forgot who brought that up, you know, something during the off season, but, you know, some anchor, news head, whatever, I was like, boy, man, the Astros really lucked out, you know, with the fact that you know, they were getting heckled to death at first, I guess, down in Florida when did they have fans down there? But you know, after spring training, you know, I don't know how quickly, I don't remember how it all worked. Or I guess that was the point. If there was spring training, they would have been heckled to death and, you know, yada, 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 where they missed out on all of the questions. I mean, if you can imagine, had we had a normal year and they, you know, pitchers, catchers report, what is that, mid-February, like the first or sec the second week, I think it is. And then by the end of the month, you've got the, you know, the rest of the staff and the players there, whoever hasn't reported already. And you and I both know whether I highly doubt, I don't know about the Houston media, but the national media, you know, you've got so much more coverage down there because they're all so close. You could just, you know, hop around and you know damn well that everyone would have been at the Houston camps and would have been asking all those questions day in and day out, you know, for an entire month. And then they still would have heard about it, you know. Even though Johnny Right Fielder, I forgot his name now, they wouldn't have asked too much, you know, despite the fact he peaked in 2017 and hasn't been able to produce those results coincidentally, ever, you know, since. You know, I think as far as embracing the villain role, there really wasn't a villain role to embrace except when you're going up against the other teams. So I guess they could have embraced that role when it comes to the teams, but they didn't have the pressure. You know, it's not like, you know, we didn't see Altuve just getting hit every day. You know, we didn't see Bregman getting hit every day. You know, we also, you know, obviously our lack of post-game coverage is slight. So, you know, but even that, like you mentioned, when they're sitting in a Zoom meeting, it's not the same. You know, as opposed to having 10 to 15 reporters all throwing the same question out at to you, just worded differently.
Yeah, I think that definitely was a help that, you know, they weren't surrounded at their lockers and just bombarded by, you know, one question after the next. But, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those lucky breaks. And, you know, even now, you know, I don't think anybody's, you know, anybody's mentioned anything about it, have they?
No, one's really talked about it. I mean, even coming into this playoffs, I haven't, you know, I got a free preview of the MLB Network, but I haven't really heard a whole lot of it. And I mean, let's be honest, over the, yeah, maybe, and you know, here's throw my foil hat on real quick. Maybe it was suppressed by the mothership, you know, and TBS doesn't have enough time. I mean, they had what, two games last series, and then in this series, I mean, they've. And what am I watching? They've got the National. No, I'm on. Oh wow, ESPN must be giving a free, because I'm watching the baseball game on my Sling TV, and I don't have ESPN on Sling. So, you know, TBS has the American League this year.
What
So,
game are you watching?
I'm watching St. Louis and San Diego.
Oh, from the first
Oh,
wild card round?
yeah. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. Thank you, Big Jack. I'm watching the MLB Network, and I'm watching last
Okay.
series.
You're
No
on
wonder I'm
behind.
still thrown off. Oh yeah, I'm way behind. I was like, "What is going on?" No wonder I was wondering what you were listening to when I called in. But yeah, I mean, I just I don't I think that it was probably hushed. Maybe not hushed, but just it didn't seem that, you know, something worth really talking about. I mean, they do kind of hammer in the same stuff, which I can't, you know, I forgot what it was, but it's getting a little annoying. They keep bringing up the same stuff. Some of these guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure, be it ESPN or, TBS or MLB Network, or I know FS1 has games now as well. I'm
Yeah,
sure they
that's
don't want to
funny.
listen to, question after question about, cheating, the cheating scandal. So, you do wonder if maybe they've censored them a little bit, or, maybe they give them ground rules on what they're allowed to ask, kind of stick to the game or the series type of questions. Because I haven't heard anybody ask any questions about it. Have you?
No.
So, and I mean, obviously, it's not like they would answer them, but. But all right, well, let's switch up here because I found this kind of interesting, Dan. I didn't see a lot of the late games last night because I mentioned to you earlier I had some afternoon difficulties sleeping because I believe the Lampsabers hate me and they show up when I go to bed intentionally. But I did read the recaps and everything, and I was surprised how badly Aaron Boone was kind of getting ripped for. The Yankees ran their rookie starter out there, that Devy Garcia, but he only pitched one inning, and everybody's pointing to it as Aaron Boone trying to be tricky and beat the Rays with their own formula. He used the dreaded opener against them, and it didn't work out. And oh my God, nobody can believe that he tried to do that against the team that invented it. Even though AJ Pierzynski has pointed out that the guy who starts the game, no matter how many innings he pitches, is the starting pitcher, which I always find humorous. But yeah, are you? I don't know. I guess maybe a surprise that they only left Garcia in for an inning. He threw 27 pitches, and I think he gave up. Did he give up one run or two runs? Yeah, he only gave up one. He did give up a run in the first inning. And then they went to J.A. Hop, who actually pitched worse. I think he gave up two or three runs over just 2 2/3 innings. But I guess A, are you surprised they didn't leave Garcia in? And then B, what do you think of Boone getting heat for just doing what he did?
It's kind of funny, but wouldn't you say it's kind of expected since it didn't really work out last night?
Well, the weird thing is it's not like the Rays are the only team that used the opener now. So, it's kind of like, what's the big deal if somebody else did it? I've seen plenty of teams do it. Hell, the
Well, do you
White
think
Sox did it in their game we lost, to the A's. Nobody mentioned it then.
it has anything to do with the fact that it's the Yankees? If it were anybody else, no one would give a crap, to be honest. But the fact that it's the Yanks, that kind of adds to it. I mean, they've got a pretty solid pitching staff, so to speak. Is that what's got everyone up in arms?
Well, the weird thing is like they have two solid starters, but they don't really have that third guy. And I have to apologize. I was wrong on Hop. I did have his innings right. He went 2 2/3, but he gave up four runs. Walked three, struck out two, and gave up two bombs. So he was much worse than Garcia. Not that the other relievers fared much better. Ottavino gave up a run, and then Loesiga gave up a run. So, it was, Garcia wasn't the only Yankee pitcher giving up runs. But, yeah, I was just kind of surprised that, they were jumping up and down because, they only left him out there for an inning. It's like, well, maybe they have plans to bring him back, or maybe they want him ready for a possible relief appearance in game four if they need him because, the series is
Yeah.
going at least four, split 1-1 right now.
I mean, I'm sure it was calculated, but Boone's a new manager, new coach, whatever you want to call it, and they try to stay on top of it. I don't know. Maybe he's just trying some new things for him, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I mean, obviously, you got the big win in game one, so, if you want to, and you wonder, I mean, if the kid would have went out and had a 1-2-3 inning, maybe he would have went out for the game. 27 pitches is a lot to throw in an inning. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, that projects, he's going to hit for 100 in just 4 innings. So that's a lot of pitches to throw, and 100 pitches is that magic mark, and you got to figure there were some nerves involved. Maybe he thought putting it out there to start the game would help him because it's 0-0, and there's less pressure than either trying to hold a lead or trying to contain a team from scoring again if they're winning. Did that make any sense?
Yeah.
Because I just thought, I don't, just kind of weird that it was kind of like, oh, hey, look, he's trying to, he's trying to beat the Rays at their own game, and I mean, obviously, the Rays haven't even played their own game in the playoffs because, Blake Snell didn't pitch just an inning, and Tyler Glasnow started last night, and I think he struck me out, and I don't even remember having a plate appearance. He struck out about 10 guys, I think. And tonight it's Charlie Morton, and I'm willing to bet, barring injury or just getting totally bombed, he's going to pitch more than one inning. So, are they really outdoing the Rays at their game when the Rays aren't doing their game?
I didn't even think of that. You think of it that way.
I mean, I'm willing to bet Masahiro Tanaka goes more than one inning. Again, barring injury or just total devastation in his start. And, they didn't pull Gerrit Cole in game one. They let him work multiple innings. So, there was probably a reason behind it. I do kind of wonder why we didn't see, maybe a Jordan Montgomery or somebody like that possibly grab the start to give you multiple innings. But again, I'm sure it was planned out and worked out ahead of time. So, just kind of, one of those things.
But do you think it has to do more with the fact that nobody's really doing that any, as much?
I'm just kind of wondering if maybe they weren't paying attention, or I think, it's more possible what you said is it's because it's the Yankees. Because both the A's and the White Sox did that in their series. They had starters go really short innings, and nobody brought it up at all. Nobody mentioned it. I think in game two, the A's starter only went like 2 innings, or maybe he got into the third. And then in game three, the White Sox starter, I think, only pitched a couple of innings. So, but no, nobody brought it up there. Nobody noticed it. So I'm thinking, it's more along the lines of your theory that, well, it's the Yankees, and, they're not supposed to play that way because they're the Bronx Bombers, and, they run their guys out there, and they pitch 18 innings no matter what. So.
With a broken leg.
Yeah. So, and one of them. But all right, well, unfortunately, Dan, I think I may have killed your National League pick. You went with the Marlins, and I kind of mentioned that I was, rooting for them because I would like to see them continue. And, they put up some runs last night. They ended up getting beat 9-5, and so they scored some runs. But today, Boy, Dan, Atlanta can really find these young pitchers. Ian Anderson goes out today, 5 2/3, 3 hits, doesn't give up any runs. He did walk a guy, and he struck out 8. He hit 94 pitches. They probably could have let him go, but they decided to, being a young kid, and I think it's his second playoff start. They got him out of there, and then the bullpen came in and was just locked down. The bullpen didn't even give up a hit, so it was just like, okay, and the Braves end up winning 2-0, so they're up 2 games to none on the Marlins. Not a terrible day. I mean, Pablo Lopez pitched well. He gave up a couple runs over 5 innings. Both solo shots, one to Travis d'Arnaud that sounded like the stadium exploded when he hit it. And then my guy, Dansby Swanson, hit the other one. Unfortunately, Dan, it's looking like the Marlins are done, barring a fantastic comeback miracle here. I don't know. What do you think? Was it just the fact that I was rooting for him that killed him?
I think that. I mean, I was kind of surprised there. I don't know. I think I sent you an article or on Facebook or whatever, that whoever the author was just completely dogged the Marlins, and this is where it's the division series is where it stops. I skimmed through. I didn't read a whole lot, so it's kind of here and neither here nor there. But I just kind of laughed at it. I was like, man, you really hate the Marlins. And I die because I have a friend who lives in Miami who's a Braves fan. Go figure. But gray beard. So he's been there for a while. But I'm still kind of surprised because honestly, if 1993, maybe he had a huge thing with the Braves in the 90s. But when the Marlins came into the league and then winning a World Series, if I lived in Miami, I would have definitely been a Marlins fan since. So it's just it's kind of surprising, and I honestly was going off the fact that what's helping the Braves win is what I was betting against, and that's their young pitching.
Yeah. So, and looking at the box score, this was my kind of game. There were only 7 total hits, so there was some great pitching going on. And the Braves, they didn't get the contributions from the guys they normally do. Acuña, Freeman, and Marcelo Zuna were 0 for 11 combined. So, it was, just kind of a different day, but obviously, the way Anderson was rolling along, even at 2-0, they were really in complete control. You just kind of wonder if, the Marlins can find a little magic to at least win a game. You think they, they might be able to pull one out. Tomorrow it's their big time rookie, that Sixto Sanchez makes the start, and he's going against another young Brave pitcher, with Kyle Wright making the start. So I don't know. You think? Well, A, you think they'll get a game, and B, you think they can come all the way back? I mean, I know you'd like them to because you pitch them, but do you really think they can do it?
No, I don't think they could do it. I don't even, to be honest, the way it's been playing out, and of course, with the way playoffs are going right now, I think. Damn, stupid car. That one of the bigger surprises was the Heat coming off with a win against the Lakers, but there was just one win, and
Oh, you predicted that.
after they have their half a week off and return on Friday, I think the series will wrap up. Sadly, I again, another Miami team, and this is how it all ties together, Big Jack. The Marlins, I don't think they'll make it to Friday.
No.
No. Granted, the series should be over by then, but my point being, making it to Friday into the playoffs continues.
Just a quick update. The A's actually did tie it up. Chad Pinder hit a 3-run homer, so it's a 7-7 in the. It looks like it's the bottom of the seventh. They may be heading to the top of the eighth now. So, but yeah, the A's managed to come back. So we'll see. We'll see how that ends up playing out. But yeah, and then the only series we didn't touch on, Dan, the Dodgers get a big win last night. I know the Padres started Clevinger, but I didn't see his pitching line. I'm kind of under the impression he may not have lasted very long, and I did see that he won't pitch again in this series. So it was probably not the best idea for them to bring him back. But, he lasted an inning, Dan, and he walked three guys. Managed to get out of it, didn't give up any runs, but that was it.
Yeah.
Walker Buehler had a struggle. He went four innings, gave up a run, but he did strike out eight, but he walked four. So that really ran up his pitch count. But, San Diego jumped out to that early lead. The Dodgers really put it away in the sixth inning. That was just pretty much the end of it. They put up four in the sixth, and then, their bullpen locked it down. They, for whatever reason, maybe it's just the fact that they're really good pitchers, but the Dodgers have had good luck controlling Fernando Tatis Jr. Last night he went 1-for-4. Those other three at-bats were three strikeouts. It's Clayton Kershaw tonight for the Dodgers. And San Diego's counting with Zach Davies, so it's a big advantage on the mound for the Dodgers. You got them going up 2-0 tonight?
Oh, yeah. Even last night, I'm not going to knock the pitching side of it, but, I tuned in towards the explosive portion of when the Dodgers really started taking the lead. And, something's in their head. Something's in in these players' heads. I don't know what it is. Obviously, I don't talk to them. But, from what I was watching earlier today between, which was so throwing me off, but, I'm working. I have it on, just in the background on my iPad. So I wasn't even thinking about the fact that, this is the wild card series. And the Padres I was watching last night kind of get beat up on by the Dodgers. Part of it was, their hitting portion, if you're watching it as a Padres fan, you're pretty bored, from when I started watching, because Dodgers are coming out and just kind of closing up the innings real quick. I don't think I made it to the ninth inning, just because it was, I think by the time I went to bed, it was already midnight. And I think they've just finished up the eighth. So, and I tuned in probably around the fifth, maybe somewhere around there after I put my daughter to bed, and it was exciting. The Dodgers had the bases loaded. They got, the runs in. Minor errors, kind of rookie mistakes that the Padres were making in the field. And you've got to wonder, I don't know, I just, what I was watching today with the looks on the confidence that they were exuding compared to last night, that's what's got to change for the Padres. Like you said, the numbers and the bats weren't really there last night. So, I think it's definitely a different level when it comes to the caliber between the Cardinals and the Dodgers pitching. But, you throw in the other factor, they're not in L.A., where the ball is just flying out of the park. And number two, the Padres are in their division. They shouldn't be afraid of these guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's obviously, it's not like they haven't seen each other. So,
yeah.
You think about it, the Dodgers go from Walker Buehler, who could only give them four because of the issues that he had or however it kind of worked out. So what do? They turn around and they go to Dustin May, who's, the first guy out of the bullpen to give him a couple innings. And, it's just like, really? Okay, great. Here we go. So, another team that just, really learned and, knows how to develop pitching, just so unbelievably well. What'll be interesting is if I will be interested to see who they go with in game four, the Dodgers. I don't know if they'll try to bring Buehler back or if they would go, another way, because obviously it's Kershaw tonight, and then I guess it's going to be your guy Julio Urias for game three. But I don't know which way they would end up going in game four, if it was to get there. So, hell, it could be Dustin May. He only pitched 2 innings. I guess they could bring him back, and let him start if they needed him to. But yeah, either way, they just, they seem to run out fantastic pitching, and obviously the Padres are really dinged up in that department, with Clevinger done. Dinston Lamet is still not able to pitch in this series, and that's number one and number two. And I really thought that would cost them last round against the Cardinals, but they got out of that series. It did take them 3 games, but they got out of it. And now you wonder, they stepped up in class. The Dodgers have been the best team in baseball all year. Does this cost them here, Dan? I mean, their pitching just isn't going to be able to overcome that Dodger lineup.
You kind of threw me off because you just said the never mind. You said the Dodgers in place of the Padres a couple of times. So no, I don't. I don't think the Padres are going to be able to overcome the Dodgers. I mean, I still think that you shouldn't totally treat postseason as anything different. I think the games just mean obviously a hell of a lot more because, in 4 days you could be done and out of it. Your season's over. So in that sense, it has more meaning obviously, but you got to treat it like the game that it is and just go out there and play. But when it comes to the postseason, obviously the Dodgers have the experience. And when you look at that, the infield especially, these guys have all been together. And you got to get a lot of guys who just hit the ball. So someone's always coming through. And it seems like for the Dodgers, if someone, they're down and out, always coming through, except for, I think it's Bellinger, who's got the, what was it, like 130 postseason ERA, or batting average, which they were talking about batting average last night, Big Jack.
Oh, wow. So that's a huge shock. I'm surprised they even knew what that was.
Well, that's what happens when you have former players like Rick Sutcliffe in the booth or
Yeah.
calling the game.
So, but all right, I guess we can touch on this for a little bit. You mentioned it earlier. The Lakers won game four last night, so they're up 3 games to 1. What's weird is, like, the more I heard people talk about it, they made it seem like it was a blowout, but they only won by 6 points. So just kind of looking at the quarterly scores, it doesn't look like they blew them out at any time, but I guess the 6-point win for the Lakers is a blowout. Got a couple days off now, not playing tonight, not playing tomorrow. They're coming back on Friday. You're saying it's over, right? That it's going to end there, or
No,
you
it's
think
done.
the, maybe steal one more to get it to Sunday in a better, in a better time slot? Maybe they get better ratings because the ratings suck for them.
Yeah, no, it's done. I mean, if you're into the NBA and you're an NBA guy, you're probably gonna watch it if, nothing else is going on. But if you don't miss it, let's just say you happen to get out somewhere, with friends, significant other, whatever, and you're not at a place that has a TV, that or they're not into the NBA, he or she, they're gonna check the game, periodically. But they're going to go back, huh, yep, what I figured, Lakers up. And as far as them kind of putting it off as a blowout, like you said, it was only a 6-point lead. It's not a blowout. But from what I was watching, it was a blowout in the sense that the Lakers had it the whole game. And even when the Heat would get their comebacks, the Lakers were right there back again to just shut it down. So I wouldn't obviously consider that a blowout, but even with the Heat fighting as hard as they did, Jimmy's got to be scoring 40 plus points every game. And that didn't happen, especially last night. If he had been on 40 points, they would have won last night, or maybe lost by a point or two. Because the harder they work, the more points they score, obviously the Lakers are going to put up more. I did get a little laugh out of LeBron, and no offense. I mean, try not to be too hard on him, right? But he did try to take a Steph Curry three last night, and at least it hit the front of the rim. But I just kind of laughed at that. I'm like, man, dude, know your strengths. You're not that guy. You're gonna go down as one of the greatest. You're athletic. The best part about the league these days is no one plays the real defense, so you can just run to the hoop. But try to turn off the Steph Curry threes. I don't. It's just not a LeBron thing. But that was the thing. Him and AD just look really good, and they're shutting down the Heat. And like I said, Jimmy's got to put up 40, but then you've got to have the rest of the team into it. Goran Dragic needs to be give them a reason to have him out there. Not to say the least for the rest of the team.
To be fair, he's been dinged up. He's playing
Yeah.
hurt. Adebayo's playing hurt. So they're not in the best of spots there. The last thing you need is to be injured going against the Lakers. So
But I mean, if you want to put a metaphor to it, it's just basically like the Lakers are the big brother and the Heat are the little brother, and you've got your hand on his forehead and he's swinging away, and you might bend your elbow a little bit, maybe get a little breeze on the shirt, and then you push that arm back out and he can't reach it. So it was kind of like the cat and mouse game. The Lakers were definitely toying with the Heat last night. And from what I've seen, no. I'm sure NBA experts and diehard NBA guys would probably agree with me, even if they're a Heat fan who can take perspective, would say this season, this league, or this series is over. Let's just get to the virtual parade. Because I don't think they could have a parade next year.
I mean, it's humorous that it went pretty much exactly how you said it was going to go before it even started.
Yeah. But
You were like, yeah, they'll win a game, they'll pick up a game here somewhere, but they're not. Sure enough, that's pretty much what happened. They managed to pick up a game, and that was it.
and to add to the conspiracies, let's just say LeBron could be over animated at times. So he never lacks on either end of it, whether they lose or whether they win. But does acting classes come with this production company, or
Probably.
maybe the guy we see on the court isn't really who LeBron is, and he's playing a great character. Although I
Maybe we'll
think he
find
needs to
out if
smile more.
did Space Jam come out? I'm interested. Maybe we could watch that.
I'm sorry,
We'll
Big
have to
Jack.
figure
I watched the original Space Jam once. You're not getting me to watch another one.
We'll be back tomorrow for
Sports Time Radio.com.